You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrad. For a lot of people, that classic Loverboy song needs an update. Everybody's working through the weekend. There's a lot of reasons for that. For some people, email and cell phones and the internet keep them on the clock every day of the week. For others, on-demand scheduling makes days off unpredictable. And many people work in jobs that require overtime, mandatory workaholism. Whatever the reason, the idea of two consecutive days of leisure, whether it's Saturday and Sunday or two other days, can be hard to find. And when we do get that leisure time, we may not know what to do with it. Our next guest says it's time to push back, to take back the weekend, and really appreciate our time off. Katrina Onstead joins us now. She's a journalist and author, and her newest book is The Weekend Effect, The Life-Changing Benefits of Taking Time Off and Challenging the Cult of Overwork. Katrina, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Well, are we losing our weekends that it took a lot of history to get to?
Yeah, it looks as though we are. You know, it sort of depends where you are on the work spectrum, of course. But for most white-collar workers and people in the knowledge, what they call the knowledge economy, there have been a real increase in the amount of hours that are worked per week. And even for those who might not actually be logging more hours, there's a sort of a sensation of working longer because a lot of people are existing in this state of high alert, constantly checking in with work or being available to work during those 48 hours where we used to actually be severed from the workplace, right? Now we kind of can carry our offices in our pockets and on our person, even when we're not physically at work, we're at work, right? Or at least thinking about work or performing availability.
And you compare the United States to other countries and Europe. People work a lot fewer hours. There's more respect for the time off, except maybe, and this is depressing, except in the UK, where a lot of people call overwork, I think you said, the American disease?
Yes, it is really depressing. This is, so the UK is a bit of an anomaly in developed Western European economies in that they also have a real long hours culture, and the sociologists there have labeled this the American disease. So it's one place where being compared to America is not really a positive thing. But, you know, as in the States and as in Canada where I am, there are people who are kind of working against this and have decided that, enough is enough and that this isn't really sustainable.
And you mentioned this as kind of a performative thing. Not only do we work a lot of hours, a lot of people, we brag about it. We wear it sometimes as a badge of honor, don't we?
Yeah, it's a really funny
Whoop.
Apologies. A funny thing has happened where, the leisure class used to be celebrated for having a lot of free time. But now, in fact, what accrues status is not having a lot of time, right? And I think everyone probably knows those moments of competitive busyness that people engage in where you run into someone and say, how busy are you? How tired are you? I'm more tired. I'm more busy. And in fact, there's been a lot of research on this, and we found that the idea of being exhausted and overworked is actually a little bit of a status symbol right now. And of course, it's, incredibly unhealthy. And it actually doesn't make you a better worker to be working longer hours. It doesn't affect your productivity in a positive way. It actually makes you less productive.
And that's from the individual level, but from the level of the employer, obviously some employers expect this kind of devotion to the job over time, constant availability, or maybe they set a sales target that no human could meet without working 60 hours or whatever a week. What kind of changes would you like to see from employers?
Well, I think employers need to get real because there's no real business case for burning out your employees. We've known for about 100 years, and they keep retesting this research, and it always pans out, which is that after about 40 hours, workers aren't making any more widgets. Or if they are making more widgets, whatever that widget might be, it would probably have some errors built into it, right? So the work that you're going to get out of people, even if you are forcing them to, be locked down in their workplace, is not going to be of a high quality. And more innovative workplaces are beginning to recognize that and experiment with 3-day weekends and, one longer shift I spoke with a woman who runs a company in Scotland, a PR company, and they work, you know, four 9 to 10 hour days, and then they take 3-day weekends, and they found this to be incredibly rejuvenating. So I think that what employers need to do is start thinking a little bit outside the box and realize that this model, this kind of these long hours is something that's left over from the Industrial Revolution, this idea that being present in the workplace and being exhausted is a sign of success, that in fact it's not serving their bottom line to treat their workers that way.
We're talking to Katrina Onstad. Her new book is The Weekend Effect. She says work is more and more taking over weekends, and we're losing a lot because of that. And Katrina, let's get into that point. What should we be getting in our lives? And this is a lot of what your book is about, but big picture, what should we be getting out of those 2 or 3 or whatever consecutive days off?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, leisure is something that isn't held in really high esteem right now in many places. But in fact, leisure is so important for many reasons. First, of course, there's the physiological and the psychological benefits of taking a break, of actually resting mind and body. There's also a public interest question at play here, which is if we don't have time off on the weekends, when do we gather? When do we participate in our communities and our societies? We know that social isolation is on the rise. Reports of loneliness have increased. And many of, one of the factors there is that people just feel they don't have time to really connect with other people. And it was, for me, researching this book, that was actually my biggest sort of takeaway and revelation was just that, oh, yeah, we're so tired often on the weekend, and our lives are so busy that we look at de-stressing as kind of collapsing alone in front of the TV or, you know, those things we do to make us feel immediately better. But in fact, it's reaching out to other people and engaging in more high-value activities that bring the benefits of the weekend.
You end your book actually with a manifesto of things that we should be trying to do once we reclaim that time off. And one of them, you were just talking about that social isolation. One part of your manifesto is connect. So how can we take that weekend time off or that day off, and instead of using it to veg out and collapse and recover, make sure we leave some time to connect with, other humans?
Well, I mean, I think it's, there's so many things. I mean, first of all, what we talked about first, which is a reimagining of how we work and our relationship to time and work, which isn't something that people can necessarily do on their own. Yes, we have some agency in these questions, but there also needs to be a kind of social recalibration about what we expect from people who work. So there's that. If you do have agency and you can take that time, being with other people has huge benefits. Participating in the community, there was actually work done around volunteering and how volunteering makes people feel, and it was really interesting. It said that people who volunteer don't feel like they have less time. They feel like they have more time, like their actual experience of time changes. And I think a lot of us don't reach out into our communities because we think, oh, we just don't have time, or it sounds boring or pious or whatever. But in fact, it will make you feel better. You will feel rejuvenated, and you'll actually feel like you have more time in your weekend if you're doing something altruistic or involved in the place where you live.
And you talk in your book about this feeling of anger and alienation online and people being really hostile to each other. And you connect that to this idea that we're not connected with each other in person. We don't recognize humans anymore in some ways when we're interacting online.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. We're at once more connected than we've ever been and not that connected at all. And there's something about human physical contact that's incredibly powerful, right? I think we know that intuitively, even if we don't have the energy to pursue it. The biggest force there is empathy. It takes being around other people to activate those powers of empathy, to look in someone's eyes, to be in their physical presence. So even if you have a very active social media life and you might feel, oh, I do know what's going on with my friends or my family, or we are communicating and I'm posting these pictures, it's not exactly the same thing. It really won't affect you. It won't give you those calming feelings, endorphins, and the kind of sense of purpose and meaning that real human connection does. They don't, I mean, there's lots of value in social media and in having those kinds of communities, but it's not, they're not equivalent. It takes getting out and into the world to actually feel like part of the world.
Katrina Onstad is with us. Her new book is The Weekend Effect, The Life-Changing Benefits of Taking Time Off and Challenging the Cult of Overwork. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What does the weekend mean to you? What does it look like for you? Does your job creep into your time off one way or another? What is important about leisure time, and what makes you feel like you got your time's worth when you have time off? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Katrina Onstad. She's the author of the book, The Weekend Effect. She says we're losing the weekend and we need to take it back and enjoy it, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think is important about having a weekend? What do you do when and if you have 2 days off? Does your job interfere one way or another with getting that time off? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. Carson is with us in Sussex. Carson, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I absolutely agree with everything being said. However, I think there's also a connection to the status that the economy is in right now. It seems like we're living in an age where we have to work this much. And maybe, like, the things that we need to afford are, like, a cause and effect of, like, working so much. Well, now I have this anxiety. Well, now I have to be able to afford this medication for this anxiety. It just feels like an endless cycle the way that it's going right now.
And Carson, can I ask what kind of work you do?
I actually work at a nonprofit for adults with disabilities. So it's funny, I actually help train them with job skills so they can go out and be contributing members to society, be independent, stuff like that. And at that kind of a career level, I'm not, you know, making boo-boo bucks. You know, there's not a lot of money in health services. However, it's very necessary to have those positions filled.
Carson, thanks a lot for that call. So, Katrina, Carson, in a low-paid line of work, and she says for her and a lot of people like her, they have to work a lot to be able to afford things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really glad that she called. You know, fragile economies breed this kind of relationship to work, right? It's not just performance, it's livelihood for many people, especially the gig economy, right? People patching together four or five jobs to add up to one job. You know, there goes your weekend for sure. What she identified is actually something called the work-spend model, something an economist called Juliet Shore has named, which is this cycle of working to have enough money to spend, but then having been spending too much and having to work more, right? So consumption is another thing that will eat up the weekend. So in my book, I talk to a lot of people who have sort of stepped back, stepped off that treadmill and are trying to leave a lighter footprint and consume less. And that's often it's not easy, but it's one way to get back your weekend is to participate less in the kind of constant consumption, which might ease up on the need to work. Not always, of course. We know that some people just aren't in a position to choose these kinds of things. But I'm really glad she called, because that is such an important thing to notice, like how much consumption plays into how we work and how we spend our free time.
Carson, thanks for that call. Katrina, you also write about some people are thinking about the idea that, okay, we've got some businesses who have a few staffers and are making them work a lot of hours, and there's a lot of people out there unemployed or underemployed who'd like to work more hours than they currently do. What are people talking about to try to balance that out?
Yeah, I mean, so where I live in Toronto, what we have right now is a real boom in this kind of precarious work, right? So people, I think it's 50% of the city I live in, a very large city, are now considered precarious workers, people who don't have worker protections and don't have the kind of standard 40-hour work week built into their contracts, and they're going from contract to contract. So, you know, this, again, this kind of way of living is becoming increasingly problematic for people. Obviously, it's extraordinarily stressful. There's some research that suggests that working in the gig, working precarious or contract work is actually more stressful for people than being entirely unemployed. So we're seeing some kind of grassroots movement around that here, and I think that this is also happening, and I know it's happening in New York, and I'm sure there's something going on where you guys are as well, around advocating for protections for workers so that if you are going from contract to contract, you will still be assured some time off. And this is something I think lawmakers are really going to have to start looking at, because people in that kind of precarious work are not going to be great consumers. They're not going to be buying houses and participating in the economy. So we need to ensure that people have some kind of secure work and secure leisure.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Matt is with us in Milwaukee. Matt, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a quick comparison between an older time decades ago and a time now, using myself as an example, and then also briefly mention what I believe to be one of the primary culprits. Look at the Brady Bunch, where the husband was an architect, and he had a large family and a stay-at-home mom, two cars, and a maid. Well, that wasn't a fictional story back then. It was fictional, of course, but that was a real possible scenario back when that sitcom was made. Now, I myself am an architect. I've got a small family. I've got to work two jobs. I don't have any new cars. I've got used cars. I spent a couple of grand on. I can't get a new car. After student loan payments and a $1,500 a month rent, I can't even afford health insurance. And at the end of the day, even I make a really good rate wage and I work two jobs, I've got nothing to save. So, and I think the large culprit of it, the Federal Reserve Central Bank, which started in 1913, has dropped the value of the dollar by 99%. I'd also add at the very end, I don't think the answer is to steal money from some people and give to others, from those according to ability to those according to need, isn't necessarily the answer, but more of a definitely support people, help people, and get awareness about the Federal Reserve. And
Matt, thanks for the call. So expenses changing, Matt saying over the years, we can't live on that one job and still have a weekend and raise a family and pay rent and et cetera, Katrina.
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, stagnant wages are playing into the erosion of the weekend, no doubt. People do have to work harder and the dollar does not go as far. The other thing that he said that I thought was interesting was, you know, talking about the Bradys, is that the introduction of women into the workforce actually hasn't meant that women are working less around the house. So for a lot of women, talk about the time crunch and how their weekends are filled with domestic chores and child rearing. And then on top of that, now they have, you know, full-time jobs. So leisure for women has actually decreased even as women have entered the workforce. And we've seen something called the gender leisure gap, where men are much better at kind of attacking their leisure and laying a stake in leisure and saying, I'm going out for my regular basketball game, whereas women really, it looks like, don't do that as much. And they're feeling the brunt of the kind of, you know, cultural burnout.
Talking to Katrina Onstad, her new book is The Weekend Effect. We go now to Nate in Adams. Nate, hi.
Hello there. I just wanted to comment. I grew up with little or nothing. When I hit about 16 years old, I decided that was not the life I wanted to live. And I work hard, and I'm not bragging. I was able to retire at 50. Everything I have is paid for. I owe no one a nickel. If I want something, I buy it. I don't live all that high, but it's pretty easy. I think one of the things that we're doing is teaching the millennials and maybe the generation just prior that 40 hours a week is a terribly high amount of hours to work in a week, and they should be able to only have to work the 40 hours a week, if that much, but have all the top shelf toys. And it doesn't work that way.
Gotcha, Nate. So it's an expectation thing, Katrina.
Yeah, although I might push back a little bit against that because, in fact, when people have been surveyed, I think it's like 60% of Americans say that they're working between 50 and 60 hours a week, which is quite a jump from 40. And millennials, I think, are obviously the biggest victims, I guess one might say, of the gig economy. They're kind of underemployed or half-employed or contract to contract. And I don't know how much, that's a desirable position for them. So, I'm always wary of kind of condemning an entire generation for not working hard enough. And I think that, yes, hard work absolutely has, so much value and benefits, but it's not always available to everybody. And I think we need to be, empathetic to people who are trying to work as hard as they can, but there really aren't the jobs out there. And especially millennials, that's a really underemployed cohort. That's a very serious issue.
Time for one more quick call with Emily in Superior. Emily, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that I'm heading back for my weekend right now. It lasted from Wednesday to today. I'm a teacher, so the whole summer is my weekend. And I think it's about living within your means. I'm only a second-year teacher. I've got two small kids and two dogs, and my husband just took a job. So we do everything that we want to do, and sometimes we have to cram it into our weekend. But you got to choose your life path and make your weekend your life.
Emily, thanks for the call. Katrina, just a few moments left. Leave us with some advice on when we have that time, making the most of it.
Well, I love what that caller just said, actually. I think, living within your means and not getting caught up on the kind of work spend treadmill. And when you do have that time off, fill it with activities that aren't just kind of the decompression Netflix binge watch, but in fact hold value. Being with people, hobbies where you're kind of can experience a sense of flow and get lost in an activity. And really prioritize your weekend the same way that we're so good at prioritizing work.
Katrina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Katrina Onstad, journalist and author. Her newest book is The Weekend Effect, The Life-Changing Benefits of Taking Time Off and Challenging the Cult of Overwork.